where this guy walks around and he drops a cigar butt in a John. He said, well, you better take it, buddy. They're going to be good. A lot of people would like this place. Now, you can do a lot with his house. You remember that one? Terrible-looking apartment. So there I am, and I walk into my apartment, and I turn the light switch on. And it was kind of lucky that night. It worked. And I flipped the light switch on, and a couple of the lights go on like that. And at first, I didn't look around. I put my bag down. I'd been out of town. And I go back into the efficiency because it had a little refrigerator. It's funny. You know, some apartments, I don't think they actually sell refrigerators like that. If you've ever moved into an apartment, it has a refrigerator about the size of a, well, about the size of a matchbox painted white. Have you ever seen those little tiny refrigerators? Oh, come on in. What are you talking about? This is a refrigerator you couldn't get your foot in. Yeah. In fact, a Coke bottle has to bend over double to get into it. Makes little bitty ice cubes the size of aspirins. So, nevertheless, I go back there and see. And this was such a little refrigerator that all I could have was one can of this beer. I had a little flat can. Cans are great for that type of refrigerator. You can't get any bottle in there. So I had one can of beer. It was all it would hold, see. So I come back there, and I open the thing up, and I take out my can of beer, which, of course, emptied my entire refrigerator, except for the wilted lettuce that was always at the bottom of it. It had been left over from the previous tenant. I don't, you know, I don't want to mess with it. You never know. He might come back and want it. He left it there. So I take out my bottle of beer, and I open a beer bottle, shoo, you know, open a can of beer. I look around. I can't believe what I see. There on the wall is this magnificent avocado wall telephone on the wall. So I said, oh, by George, they put my phone in. Look at that. That's a wall telephone. That's kind of great, you know. It looks great. Right over the sink there, see. So I said, I wonder if it works. So I take the, you know how excited it is, you know, when you get your first phone, see. So I take it off and it goes, and it's got a dial tone, just like a real phone, see. So at that point, it had the dial was inside the phone itself, see. So I figured I'm gonna call my friend up, see. So I dial a number. And he comes on the phone. He says, yeah, hi. I says, hey, George, listen, I just got my new phone. And he said, oh, yeah? Congratulations. And I said, no, come on, please. I mean, let me have my little pleasure. I said, George, I just got my new phone. It's an avocado wall phone. And it looks great over there. It's the only thing that looks good in this whole apartment, this crappy, rotten, stinky hole I'm living in. And it looks great. I'm going to sit here and just watch my phone hour after hour. I said, it looks beautiful. I said, George, you do me a favor. He said, yeah, what? I said, I'll hang up, and you call me back. You make the first call on my phone. And he said, oh, well, all right, that's thrilling. I said, yes, it is. And he said, what's the number? So I look on the number, you know, 6SJ7GT. He says, that's my new number, 6SJ7GT. He said, okay, hang up, and I'll dial. So I hung up the phone. I waited. And I take a slug of beer. All of a sudden, the phone goes, but I can't believe it. It's ringing all around the apartment. I hear ringing coming from inside where the bed folds out on the wall, and it's ringing in the front there where I got my one little closet. It had a closet, a little skinny, narrow closet that had been a place where they used to store ironing boards. It was the only closet in the whole damn house. I had one coat that I could hang in there. And it's ringing all over the place. So I pick up the phone. I says, hey, George, I can't figure it out. It's ringing all over the place here. He says, what do you mean? I says, well, the phone just rang, and it's ringing all over the apartment, not just at this phone. He says, well, you got an extension? I says, extension? Are you out of your mind? This is a one-room apartment. In fact, it takes a lot of optimism to call it a one-room apartment. I mean, you've ever seen those apartments listed as a 1.5 efficiency? Well, I've got the half. I don't know who got the room. I got the half. And he says, well, you better look around, man. So he says, listen, I don't have time to mess around with you on the phone. I said, okay, George. So I go. I turn around, and then I see the Cincinnati Telephone Company, in all of its beneficence, had gotten the idea that what I wanted was three extensions. I had telephones on all the walls. All avocado, I might add. and very tastefully decorated. So at that point, I waited till the next day. See, I didn't want to call them at 3 in the morning, which it was at that time. So I called the business office. You know, on the front where it says business, you call them up. I call the business office, and this lady comes on the phone. Hello, this is the phone company. Mrs. Murphy speaking. I said, well, look, Mrs. Murphy, I have a very curious problem here.
Yes?
I said, well, the problem consists of this, Mrs. Murphy.
Yes, please. Excuse me one moment. I have a line. I'll call on the other line.
Son of a gun. I waited about 20 minutes. I get this buzz, and then finally, it drops. You know what happens? After about 20 minutes, it drops. It goes, argh. I said, oh, for crying out loud. There goes 9 message units, and I didn't even get her. So I dial her again. And again, who's on the phone? It's Mrs. Murphy.
Hello, phone company business office. This is the trouble department. Mrs. Murphy speaking.
I said, Mrs. Murphy, now wait a minute. I just got you on the phone. Do you remember me? Now, wait a minute. Don't hang up. Hold on. Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Here's my problem. I ordered a phone here at my apartment. And when I came back to my apartment after being out of town 2 days, I arrived in the apartment, and I have 3 extension phones. I have 3 telephones here. Now, I know that that's extra, right?
Yes, the extension telephone costs $1.75 a month extra for the phone, unless it is an Avocado Princess Shearline phone, at which point it is $4.75 extra per extension. Thank you very much. She's gone.
I guess she thought I wanted to find out just how much it's going to cost me, see? So at that point, I dialed again, and I get, who do I get?
Mrs. Murphy speaking.
I said, well, Mrs. Murphy, wait a minute, hold it. This is the guy with the avocado phones. I have 3 extensions. Now, Mrs. Murphy, I did not order any extensions. I do not want an extension.
Well, what do you expect me to do about it?
I said, well, now, wait a minute. I tell you what I want you to do. You call up the billing department and tell them to come and take out 2 of the extensions. I have 3 phones in my apartment. It is a one-room apartment. Now, I can sit in the middle of the room and talk to all 3 phones at once. I do not need an extension. I don't know why they put on an extension.
Thank you very much. I will take care of it.
Hurry up. It's gone. Well, I was all excited, you know, finally I was going to get it all straightened out. I kind of liked the green one. I figured, well, what I'll do is keep the green one over the sink. Because it added a little touch to that efficiency place back there, which looked pretty shoddy, as a matter of fact. You know what that efficiency looked like? The back end of a jail cell. Yeah, it had a little skinny window over the top there with bars on it, with gray. It looked out into an air shaft. It looked like the back end of this. I can just see Gene Kelly escaping from that room. You know, standing on the sink and tying all the bed sheets together. And in the next cell is Hume Cronin. And they're fighting in the underground in France. So, nevertheless, I figured, well, when he comes, I'm gonna tell him to leave it over the sink. See, nothing. He doesn't come today. He doesn't come tomorrow. He doesn't come the 30th. I figured, well, what the heck? You know, what do I care? I got the phone. I've made my objection. Well, then what happened is the bill arrived, and I have billed for 3 extension phones. Well, I called up my friend again. See, and I said, before she could even open her mouth, I said, is Mrs. Murphy there? Hello, this is Mrs. Murphy speaking. I said, Mrs. Murphy, look, you remember me? I'm the guy with the extension phones.
Yes, I do recall the case. I believe they were Avocado.
I said, yes, they are Avocado. Now, Mrs. Murphy, would you please tell them in the billing department I don't want to pay for 3 phones, and I want them to come out and take 2 of the extensions out. Now, I don't think it's fair for me to pay for all them extensions. Because I just don't want all those. I didn't ask them for those again, and they come and put them in on their own. I said, they could have hung up 400 phones in here and charged me for them. They could put 1,000 phones. What am I going to do? And she said, I will take care of the problem. Thank you. Well, I go out for about an hour the next day to get myself some sliced salami. Because I was living right close to the vest in those days, and I could not afford to eat in restaurants and stuff. So I went out to get myself 15 cents worth of very thinly sliced salami. which I could put on some bread that I had stolen at a restaurant. When I went to the restaurant, you know, they had bread pile up. I took the bread, see? So I'm making myself a sandwich. Well, I come back after being out for an hour, and what do you think's happened? No phones. They've taken all my phones out. So I run down the street, I put a dime in the payphone, and I call up guess who? Yeah, that's right. Mrs. Murphy speaking. I said, Mrs. Murphy, you have sent somebody out to take my phones out. I have just received orders from you personally, and I have it right here on my notebook, to remove the telephones from your apartment. Now, if you wish those telephones to be reinstalled, there will be a $30 charge. Oh, my God. I hung up. Well, to make a long story boring and short, and boil it down to the mulligatawny stew that it was, that was one of the most peaceful summers I ever spent. I never got a phone. I just gave it all up. And, you know, I discovered how easy it is to get by without a phone. It's amazing. You don't get all those crank calls. You don't get all those guys saying, hello, sir, I represent the Acme Life Insurance Company and Storm Window Organization. And we have your name as a man. No, I don't want storm windows. I used to get calls saying, you have won a $5 certificate at the Tango Dance Studios. I do not want to take tango lessons. Once in a while, I get a call from one of my friends calling up from downtown to ask me if I can quick get $200 to bail them out, which actually happened to me. Have you ever gone down to bail a friend out? You haven't lived a very rich life, Al. In fact, I got down there with the $200 to bail my friend out, and I damn near wound up in jail myself. I looked like somebody they were looking for. That actually happened. So would you go over there with Sergeant Mulligatawny there for a minute? Wait in that room over there. Next thing you know, they came so close to put the cuffs on me, I couldn't figure out what's going on. But so I got by without a phone. Incidentally, Mrs. Murphy kept sending me bills for the phone that I did have for a day and a half, including the three extensions. I don't know whatever happened with that. Well, they'll trail you to the ends of the earth. Oh, yeah. You try to take out a phone in Provo, Utah, and they'll tell you you owe that phone company back in Cincinnati. I mean, trying to get all those extensions and then not wanting to pay for them, and then on top of that, ordering avocado, which is a special color, and oh, you know.
Mrs. Murphy speaking. At your service.
Yeah, this is WOR New York. Stay tuned for In Conversation.
Turn on. Tune in and drop out.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.
One ringy dingy. Is this Mr. Hoover? Mr. Jedgar Hoover? Good. Then I have reached the party to whom I am speaking. Mr. Hoover, this is Miss Tomlin from the telephone company. It is my duty, Mr. Hoover, to discuss with you some of the abuses of your instrument. Yes. Yes, it does sound rather un-American, doesn't it? Now then, Mr. Hoover, I have your file here before me. Oh, yes, I'm sure that you have a file on me, too. After all, turnabout is fair play. Yes, it does sound perverted. Now then, Mr. Hoover, I have a find that you and your agents have indulged in the illegal and unfair practice of wiretapping. Oh, Mr. Hoover, listening to other people's conversations. Oh, how do I know? From listening to your calls, that's how I know. Oh, no. Mr. Hoover, don't be rude. I'll make a loud noise into my mouthpiece and perhaps deafen you for life. Now, Mr. Hoover, may I ask, do you have a telephone directory handy? Good. Let us turn to page VIII and recite in unison. It is a crime under both federal and state law to use a telephone for annoying or harassing purposes, or to knowingly permit a phone under one's control to be used for such purposes. This includes calls in which the caller remains silent, etc., 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 etc. Oh, you do know the law, Mr. Hoover. Now, Jedgar, listen, is there anybody at your place listening in? Everybody, good. Let's get right to the nitty-gritty. There's absolutely no reason for your people to skulk about, electronically speaking. You can get all the information you need from us. Probably a lot more accurately, too. Good. Good, then we will be in touch. Oh, and Mr. Hoover, before you go, I must tell you how much I admire your vacuum cleaner. Hello? Mr. Hoover? Well, why do you suppose he got so huffy? I was just being complimentary. Everybody knows there's nothing like a Hoover when you're dealing with dirt.
That was Lily Tomlin with the FBI from her record, This Is a Recording.
Darling, you don't have to call me Stalin or even Mao Zedong, 'cause I'm far too young. My rising sign is Capricorn, is that surprising? You know that I was born so very soft and easy going. I make no trouble at all. I was listening, yeah, I was listening to the devil's radio. I was listening, yeah, I was listening to the devil's radio. It went na 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 on the devil's radio. Evil, its tentacles are bland, it's like a weevil. It burrows through the land and everybody smiles, everybody smiles. Michael, don't you know someday a spike will grow right through the woodwork and come out through your palm? We was listening to the devil's radio. We was listening, yeah, we was listening to the devil's radio. Devil's radio. Sunsets on the devil. Sunsets. sun the west. He's listening to the FM talk show. It's what he loves the best. Was talking through a bimbo, but don't touch that dial or that hateful smile. Kate said the flowers of intolerance and hatred are blooming kind of early this year. Someone's been watering them. We was listening, ah, we was listening to the devil's radio. We was listening, yeah, we was listening to the devil's radio. And it went na 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 na. I'm not the devil's radio. Na 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 na. I'm the devil's radio. Thank you.
Next, we hear from sound artist Jop Blanc.
Thank you. I was at this conference seance in CalArts in Los Angeles, and I met this writer, Madeline Ginz, and I would like to present a short meditation on the title of one of her books. What the President Will Say and Do. 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 What the President Will Say and Do.
Thank you.
Dollars you lose here today, they're gonna buy you stories to tell your children, your great grandchildren.
We're in the money.
This is Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance and Situation Fluxus on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The WGXC 90.7 FM 10 Years of Radio for Open Ears Pledge Drive is scheduled for Sunday, October 17th through Sunday, October 31st. And thanks to good people like yourselves, we're still here. WGXC is ever so close to securing sustained monthly funding. That's $5,000 a month. That'll eliminate pledge drives like these. As much fun as they tend to be. So while you're here, donate. WGXC.org/donate. And remember, there is never a bad time and it is never too early to support community radio. WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. WGXC.org/donate.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Arthur and Karen of Hoover, Alabama. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
A radio network, an empire upon an empire.
I make no promises.
You on the mark.
With one purpose only, to point out and make public the dishonesty. Now in complete control of the government of this state.
There's only one man who can rid the politics of this state of the evil domination.
Yes. Hello.
After whistleblower revelations, it's time to unfriend Facebook. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan and our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Facebook's grown into a planet-wide $1 trillion company that allows people to connect online with family and friends, sharing photos and liking the posts of others. But beneath this benign facade lies a vast network where Facebook profits by promoting discord, violence, human trafficking, and by driving young people, especially girls, into a self-loathing that can spiral into depression and suicide. And Facebook knows all this. A trove of leaked internal Facebook documents led to a recent series of explosive exposés by the Wall Street Journal. On Sunday, the whistleblower who released the documents, Frances Haugen, appeared on CBS's 60 Minutes. Then on Tuesday, she testified before a Senate Commerce Subcommittee.
I saw Facebook repeatedly encounter conflicts between its own profits and our safety. Facebook consistently resolved these conflicts in favor of its own profits. The result has been more division, more harm, more lies, more threats, and more combat. In some cases, this dangerous online talk has led to actual violence that harms and even kills people.
Facebook has an estimated 3 billion users around the world and also owns Instagram and WhatsApp, social media applications with another combined 3 billion users. Instagram, popular with teens, encourages users to post selfies and videos. Metrics like the number of followers one has or the number of likes, dislikes, and shares that a post receives weigh heavily on the psyches of many of these young users, often negatively. This exchange from Haugen's 60 Minutes interview illustrates the problem. It begins with Scott Pelley.
One study says 13.5% of teen girls say Instagram makes thoughts of suicide worse. 17% of teen girls say Instagram makes eating disorders worse.
And what's super tragic is Facebook's own research says, as these young women begin to consume this eating disorder content, they get more and more depressed, and it actually makes them use the app more. And so they end up in this feedback cycle where they hate their bodies more and more. Facebook's own research says it is not just that Instagram is dangerous for teenagers, that it harms teenagers. It's that it is distinctly worse than other forms of social media.
Among the documents obtained by the Wall Street Journal was a leaked slide from a 2019 internal Facebook Instagram presentation entitled Teen Mental Health Deep Dive. In it, company researchers admit we make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls. A list follows specifying how. Teens specifically call out the following as ways that Instagram harms their mental health: pressure to conform to social stereotypes, pressure to match the money and body shapes of influencers, the need for validation, views, likes, followers, friendship conflicts, bullying and hate speech, over-sexualization of girls, inappropriate advertisements targeting vulnerable groups. Facebook's targeting of teens has been compared to big tobacco, covering up the harmful and addictive properties of cigarettes for decades while hooking younger and younger smokers. The destructive web of toxic content pushed through Facebook and Instagram goes much further. As the leaked documents reveal, Facebook has known for years its platforms are used by criminal organizations. Mexican cartels have used Facebook to recruit young people to become killers and to post videos celebrating their violent acts. Human trafficking organizations use Facebook to recruit domestic workers for assignments in the Middle East, then confiscate the passports of these workers, many of whom come from Africa, then sell the work contracts. Workers are then often subjected to slavery-like conditions, some even shackled to prevent flight. In conflict zones, Facebook has played a central role in fanning the flames of racial and ethnic hatred, encouraging violence that's contributed to mass murder and ethnic cleansing against minority populations like the Rohingya Muslims of Burma and against the Tigrayan people in Ethiopia. Facebook has known that its platform is causing harm, but has refused to take action. CEO Mark Zuckerberg himself has intervened, overriding company investigators who suggest fixes to these problems that might impact Facebook's profitability. Facebook and Zuckerberg refuse to hire enough content monitors, especially in language other than English, which make up the vast majority of users, or to adjust the secret algorithm that drives the company's enormous profits.
That's the shocking part here, is just the number of bald-faced lies repeated over and over again.
That's Jessica Gonzalez, co-CEO of the media advocacy group Free Press, speaking on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
It indicates clearly that Facebook is unfit to self-govern and that we need the U.S. Congress and the administration to step in and provide transparency and accountability.
We, our attention, our time spent on these sites and apps, are the product that Facebook sells to advertisers. We must demand accountability. Congressional and antitrust action is needed now to rein in this sprawling global monopoly that profits off pain. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu, up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
And now here is your WGXE weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 63 degrees. There will be patchy drizzle Saturday night with a slight chance of showers after 5 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 51 degrees. And on Sunday, patchy drizzle with a slight chance of showers before 8 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 64 degrees. And isolated showers are expected on Sunday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 54 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
One speeding ticket, Columbia County.
Columbia County, everybody gets speeding tickets. How else do they pay for the roads to get plowed in the winter?
Chris Forsyth and the Solar Motel Band ask, have we mistaken the bottle for the whiskey inside?
This is HMM's correspondent Killian McPherson with the second episode of Is Radio Dying? Today, we go an hour south to a town called Roxbury, where a radio station broadcast from called WIOX. Can you introduce yourself and your position at WIOX?
I can, but you're saying that your segment is called Is Radio Dying?
Yes.
That's the segment you're having me on? So if I pass away during our interview, you'll have delivered your promise?
Oh.
Is radio, how about Is Radio Dead? Can we revive it? How about that?
Yes, there we go.
Right, okay. So I'm Joe Piazzik, and I'm one of the founders of WIOX.
When did WIOX start?
We're still waiting, but it began in 2010 on the air. It began as an idea around 2004. It began with its construction permit when the FCC opened that application window in 2007. It's about 2,000 square feet or more. Beautiful spot in the middle of town in an old building that's updated. It's a place for live performances. It's got an old-fashioned live radio booth, production studio, proper production studio.
How was WIOX affected by the pandemic?
Well, I would have to say that if you put that in present tense, I might have a better time answering that. How is it being affected by the pandemic? Is essentially it is being a place for information about the pandemic, because we have live, local, real-time radio broadcasting. None of our programs, our local programs, are produced, pre-produced. Everybody comes in, you know, once a week. We have 85 volunteers who produce regularly scheduled programming. Some of them are about, you know, the talk shows about conveying information to the community about the controversies that we all face, including COVID. And others are music shows that allow listeners to depart from information about COVID or misinformation or disinformation. But we're not immune to information, misinformation, and disinformation. I don't think anybody's immune to this virus in that way. But we do our best to bandy about information and invite people on the air to talk about their perspectives on it. And we have healthcare professionals, too, and real seasoned journalists who are conveying information in real time about the mandates, about the infection counts, the trends, federal, state, local. And we're technically located in Delaware County. But we have a connection to the various healthcare providers in the region, Delaware, Schoharie, Green, Otsego, Ulster, and just try to be as current and real as we can with accurate information. So has it influenced or affected the station's broadcast? In the front room, yes, because content on the air deals with it. In the back room, very little, other than we wipe things down more than we used to.
So you never went virtual. You always were in person from the start of the pandemic, right?
Right.
So I was doing some reading on your webpage, and I found that you are also an educational radio station. And so I'm just trying to figure out, what does that mean from a normal radio station to an educational radio station?
All right. Well, first you have to tell me, what's a normal radio station?
That's fair. I guess I'm thinking more of a commercial, like I guess when I think of a normal radio station, when I'm driving down the road in my car, I think I'm listening to either NPR or our local WOOC. I mean, WOOC isn't normal, I guess, right? NPR is the big commercial, right? And I don't think they do much educational stuff, right? From what I listen to on NPR. I don't know, though.
Okay, so NPR is an educational station because their affiliates are licensees. The FCC licensees with an NCE designation. That stands for non-commercial educational. NPR affiliates, at least the ones that I know of, are not commercial stations. They may have a flair and a high production value, which one can associate with the commercial broadcasters, but their content and license designation, their service to community, and their commercial restrictions, just like WIOX has, is the NCE designation, which is non-commercial, educational. So in that realm, you could say that WIOX is educational because of its license designation. Is it also entertaining? Is it also, reflective and responsive and supportive of community interests? Absolutely. Does it sell things? Yes, it sells ideas all the time. Does it sell products? Not directly, but we do have a number of business underwriters that support the station by making contributions in exchange for messaging that thanks them and provides the audience with information on their whereabouts, their services, their products. That's to some ears may sound commercial, but in our case, they're not. They're mini programs about local institutions, some of whom are business institutions. So all of that is under the umbrella of educational. I think if you tune in, you won't not learn something.
Yes. I mean, that's the same for WOOC. I'm always learning stuff through, even when I'm hosting, I'm learning something. What do you think the future of WIOX is, or even a broader spectrum radio? You know, is radio going to die out, or is it going to keep going? I don't think it's going to die out. I think it's just going to evolve, personally.
Well, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I do have the eight ball where you can shake it and, you know, ask it a question and it'll come up with an accurate answer, or as accurate as a crystal ball might. But where's radio going? I think it's going, you know, kind of in many directions at the same time. My hope is that it goes after its audience, is that it goes after its community, and it becomes reflective of its service area and not just beating its service area over the head with, you know, tasteless, wasteful garbage, which much of the commercial band, which is most of the radio band, tends to do.
True.
I think that an important question might be, where is it? Because where things are headed is, you know, off the cliff in one direction, into a brick wall in another, and, you know, into a beautiful skyscape of possibilities on another. My hope is that the latter will prevail, but certainly they will all commingle as they have, you know, in recent history.
We have about a minute left. So in terms of structure, radio stations structure their schedules differently. How do you structure yours?
Oh, that's a good question. So part of the legacy of commercial radio, and I come from commercial radio myself, you know, in the old days in the 20th century, latter half of the 20th century, where there were kind of tools and tricks of the trade tried on the air as far as scheduling goes to maintain audience and to build an audience. Those strategies fall under the category of dayparting, you know, daypart strategies. And WIOX is daypart programmed. Dayparting just means it follows the lifestyle interests of the audience as understood and provides programming to complement the mood and the activities of the listening audience, knowing people don't just sit and look at their radio. They're living their lives with the radio as a companion. So we have news programs in the morning. The 801 with Kent Garrett is on every morning from 8 to 9. It's a soft sell, hardcore news program, very current, all live. It brings the world into the Catskills from that perspective. And then we have, you know, music shows during the day and late at night. We have a strip of programming in the early afternoon, noon, 1 o'clock. We have a strip of talk programming in the evening, early in the week, 6 p.m. The rest is a variety of music from just about any genre you can imagine, hosted by people who either are musicians or who have a deep appreciation and knowledge of the music that they're playing.
And then finally, is there anything I didn't ask you that you'd like to mention or say?
Yes. I like to say hello to my sister. Hi, Pam. I like to say hello to my wife. Hi, Jane. I like to say hello to the main movers and shakers at WIOX. All 85 of them, and I can start by listing them all, but I think we'll probably run out of time.
Yes.
I thank you very much for discovering our station, and I hope that our two stations can collaborate, and I hope that your program perhaps maybe can see some light on our airwaves.
That would be very, very cool to see. I will try to make that happen.
Thanks for to Joe Piazek for joining me. This has been HMM correspondent Kaylin McPherson reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Another episode of Is Radio Dying?
What else do DJs get? I mean, we're just voices in the air, but we're what makes radio alive. And what do we get for it? Seems like every year you pack everything up, move to another town. Gets harder and harder to find a station that'll let you program music you want to play. And, you're 40 and there's some kid half your age who will take your job and do it for half the money. And then you find yourself making silly demands. Free coffee. But that's my little moment of honesty, so we can get back to the nonsense.
We're joined by Mickey Lynn, who, among other groups, is involved with Grand Ace for Peace. And this year for Indigenous Day, Monday, October 11th, they're helping to sponsor a vigil, an event out at Wolf Road and Central Avenue by Colony Center, Monday, October 11th at 3:30. I believe around the theme of stop pipelines and fossil fuels. So, Mickey, welcome to WOC. And why is Grand Ace for Peace putting together this event?
Thanks for having me. It's actually Indigenous Peoples Day because it, if you wanted to expand it greatly, it could be worldwide. But in our case, we're dealing with U.S. and Canada mainly. So why are we doing this? Well, the major reason is right now there's a tremendous struggle over the Enbridge Pipeline 3. And we've been reading and hearing about it, and some people we know have actually gone to some of the encampments in Minnesota. So we wanted to honor the people who are doing it. And also, it's very much related to the Granny's mission in general, which is to prevent the suffering of